turn to Proverbs chapter 8. As you know, we are working our way through the book of Proverbs this month, and hopefully you are maybe following along with us. And I want to thank Chip Hartzell for leading us last week in Proverbs chapter 1. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We've got some Bibles. We'd be glad to hand you one. And we're glad for you to keep that Bible if you need one. So hope you're having a great August so far. We spent the week at the beach, and so I'm sort of really relaxed today. Just glad to be here, glad to be back with our church family. And we're going to continue in Proverbs chapter 8 today. Have you ever heard of someone speak of something like with an inanimate object or something that they like with a female pronoun? You know what I mean? Like, someone talks about their prized car, she's a 1968 Corvette, or this is my 2018 Harley Davidson, she's a beauty. Like, I think most people, that type of language is reserved for those who, things in life that are the most revered, like things that you love the most or are honored things. I remember B.B. King. Anybody remember B.B. King? B.B. King he took it one step further. He named his prized guitar Lucille. You remember that? And he would play that guitar. And it was a term of endearment about something that he loved and this relationship, really, with this guitar that he had. Certain institutions are described with a female pronoun, like institutions of higher learning or even the United States of America or the American flag, all things that are revered are often talked about in our language, in our culture, with a female pronoun. Now, as you know, throughout the month of August, we're working our way through the book of Proverbs, and we're reading a chapter a day. If you haven't started yet, it's not too late. Just pick it up today. We're in chapter 8. Today is August the 8th. See what we're doing there? All you have to do is look at what day of the month it is and read that chapter. 31 chapters, 31 days. And if you haven't started yet, it's not too late. Just jump in with us today as we study Proverbs 8. And here we see in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom personified as a woman. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice?" And so we see that from the very beginning, verse 1 of chapter 8, Solomon, who's writing this proverb, talks about wisdom and makes a correlation to a woman. Makes sense. Some of the wisest people that I know are women. My wife, very wise. I've learned more and more from her every day. My mom, my grandmother, wise women, my mother-in-law, all women that I love and respect, right? The proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 31 describes a noble wife in the last chapter here. We won't preach on that, but we'll get to that on the 31st of Proverbs. He says, "A wife of noble character who can find. She's worth far more than rubies." Then down in verse 26, he says, "She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue." See, we've all known faithful and godly women who have shaped our lives. God bless you. Mercy. We've all known faithful and godly women who have shaped our lives, right? Women who could be described like the wife and mother in Proverbs chapter 31. The proverb writer says she speaks with wisdom. See, these are the women that we should listen to and follow. But there are also women in this world who do not bring godly wisdom to our lives. And if you have been reading along with us through the book of Proverbs this week, you've also noticed that Solomon compares folly or the lack of wisdom to a certain kind of woman. Remember this, chapter 7, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you're my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words." Proverbs 7 is a literal warning against adultery, but figuratively also a warning against folly or following the seductive ways of this world. Proverbs 7 says, "Don't fall for the trappings of this world, for they are seductive and their ways are evil. Instead, rely on God's wisdom." 7 verse 2 says, "Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." So this morning, as we look at Proverbs chapter 8, let's think about what the proverb writer is pointing our minds and thoughts toward today. She is beautiful. She is wisdom. I'm going to read just about every verse from this chapter, and it's kind of a long chapter, so if you have your Bible open or Bible app, we're not going to put all of this on the screens today, but we will put some other verses up there, but I want to kind of read through. Let's just start this by reading verses 1 through 5. Solomon writes, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, 'To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish set your hearts on it.'" So wisdom calls out to us today. In this proverb, Solomon says, she goes to the city gate and she calls out to the people to follow her, to listen to her, right? And that's what we should do today. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. "Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." So the author of most of the Proverbs is Solomon. And Solomon was given wisdom by God. Matter of fact, God came to Solomon in a dream and said, "I'll give you anything you desire." He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for world dominance. He could have asked for the death of his enemies. God goes to him and says, "I'll give you anything you desire." And he asks for wisdom, right? So he was already pretty smart. He was already in tune with who God was, right? So the author here in 1 Kings chapter 4, it says God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than all the wisdom than the wisdom of all the people of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. And then down in verse 34, 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, "From all nations people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom." So Solomon asked God for wisdom, God delivered, and people from all over the world, kings would send their wise men to Solomon to hear what he had to say. And we would do well to follow Solomon's example. And that's kind of what he's saying to us here in Proverbs chapter 8. Listen to her. She is wisdom. People may not come from all over the world to hear, right, what I have to say. But God's wisdom in our lives will change our lives, change the lives of our families, change the lives of the people around us. Now, let's look at the rest of Proverbs 8 and see if we can discern some wisdom. Three things I want us to kind of take from this chapter about wisdom from Proverbs chapter 8. First of all, there is a blessing that's found in wisdom. Look at verse 12 and following. "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, and I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power." So what wisdom offers, Solomon is saying, is things like prudence and knowledge and discretion from verse 12. Counsel and sound judgment, understanding and power from verse 14. And so wisdom makes herself available, not just to us, not just to the context of the Old Testament, not just God's covenant people Israel, but to everyone, right? Look at verse 15. "By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth." So those who rule in righteousness demonstrate wisdom. Wisdom that is quality, and that brings order to society. Maybe we should ask God not only to grant us wisdom, but maybe the rulers, right, of this nation that we live in and rulers around the world. Do you pray for wisdom like Solomon did? Do you pray that our leaders would have wisdom in this world? Have you ever been confused by this world? This morning, when I got to the office, I got here pretty early, and there was someone, I was confused by this, there was someone in my parking spot. Like, just if you just take this world at face value, sometimes it's confusing. Do you see what that is? It's a crawfish in our parking lot right out here. Like, literally the spot where I usually park, this guy is parked, right? I don't know if he was passing through or what. I didn't even know we had crawfish in North Carolina, and here's one in the parking lot. Is that weird? Is that even a thing here? Do we have, or did somebody like have a crawfish boil and one escaped? Is that what happened? I don't know. I'm very confused. But anyway, so this guy's in my parking spot, literally on the other side of the building, and it just goes to show you, like, things you think you know, right? I don't know. I don't know why that guy's here. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he went. Actually, I do know where he went because Sue Lynn picked him up and put him somewhere in the grass. We're like trying to figure out, don't they need water to live? We're like, I don't know. I'm confused. See, we need wisdom that goes beyond ourselves. We don't know everything. There's a blessing in seeking and knowing wisdom. Look at verse 17. Remember, wisdom speaking says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. In other words, Solomon's saying, if you want to grow in your knowledge, in wisdom, it's there for you. God can show you what it looks like. The way of wisdom brings a bounty of blessings to those who follow her ways. Not just any blessing, right? And that takes us to the second point. Because true wisdom comes from God. Let's keep reading. We'll read a large portion here. Verses 22 through 31. It says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago. At the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters could not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his world, whole world, and delighting in mankind. See, the reason that wisdom should be pursued and trusted is that wisdom, true wisdom, is from God. True wisdom in all of its beauty, right? In all of its blessing comes from God. See, I think there is clearly a difference in man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Like, have you ever thought about some of the things that we took as conventional, as we took as true through the years? Like, in 1899, a guy named Charles H. Duell worked at the he was an official at the U.S. Patent Office. Here's what he said about inventions. He said, everything that can be invented has been invented. That was in 1899. Like, there's nothing left to invent, right? This guy was smart, right? In 1943, the chairman of the board, Thomas J. Watson, the chairman of the board of IBM, says, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. I mean, that's unbelievable. Now everybody's got a computer in their pocket, right? In 1958, Business Week article said, with over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, speaking of the U.S., the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a big slice of the U.S. market. Raise your hand if you drive a Japanese vehicle, right? I do. A couple of them. In 1899, someone said, the ordinary horseless carriage is at present a luxury for the wealthy, and although its price will probably fall in the future, it will never, of course, come into as common use as the bicycle. So probably very few people rode here today on a bicycle, though most of us in a horseless carriage.
Here's a guy, Albert Einstein, one of the smartest guys ever lived, a great mathematician, right? He said in 1932, there is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable. It would mean the atom would have to be shattered at will. And a lot of us get power today from nuclear energy. Western Union, now this one's a little bit, Western Union would say this, right? That's the telegraph folks. In 1876, they said, this telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. It will inherently be of no value to us, right? So how many of us, you know Morse code today? You want me to click something to you, right? So conventional wisdom can be defined as ideas so accepted that they go unquestioned. And man's wisdom, time and time again, is proven false. Right? What we think, what conventional wisdom says is true, is often wrong. As I told you this week, our family spent the week at the Outer Banks, and the weather there was a lot like it was here, I understand, not great. And so Bonnie and I just really like to go sit on the beach, relax, have a good time. My sister and her family had come from Iowa, and we were looking forward to just hanging out on the beach. I love watching people from the Midwest get in the ocean. It's just really fun for me to watch them tumble over and over. And so we got a little bit of that time. And I think it was last Sunday, we decided to go to the beach because literally my weather app said it was going to rain every day this past week. And we're like, okay, this afternoon looks pretty good. So when church was over, we went straight to the beach, and we lugged everything down there, and the app that I was looking at, the weather app that I had, said it wasn't going to rain or storm until maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we get down there, I get down there probably about 1 o'clock, and we do see a storm brewing. Like, I took this picture, and that was looking north, and my app, I saw it on my weather app, and the weather app said somewhere between 3 and 4 it's going to rain here. And so at about maybe 1:30 or 2, Bonnie, my wife said, I think we should head to the house. Like, this is kind of what we were looking at, and up the beach. And I tried to argue with her. I said, the app says we've got until 3 p.m. First of all, guys, it's not very wise to argue with your wife. Like, I think God heard that and probably changed the weather right then, like, because of me. But I started arguing with her. I told her about my weather app, and she just kind of ignored me and got up and started gathering her stuff up, right? And so I started to follow. Before we could get off the beach, it began to rain. Before we could turn the corner, walk the block it was to our house, it began to pour. And before we could get to the house, I thought I was in the Wizard of Oz. Like, I thought Toto, like the whole nine yards, was getting ready to happen. Bonnie was right. My weather app was wrong. And here's what occurs to me. Millions of people use these weather apps, right? Every day, and they're routinely wrong. The only one more wrong than the weather app is the weatherman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he can be that wrong and still have a job. The truth is, just because millions of people believe a foolish thing doesn't make it any less foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. You see, man's wisdom is limited. It's based on his own knowledge, which is limited. And because of this, sometimes we get things wrong, like, we thought the earth was flat for a long time. We thought the earth, the sun, you know, revolved around the earth, like it was the center of the world. But God's wisdom is ancient and true. Did you hear what it said there? Wisdom, she has been around since before the world was created. And God's wisdom predates our existence on the earth itself. So God's wisdom, it's a part of the entire creation process. No wonder God has always correct, or is always correct, and we are routinely wrong. God's wisdom is based on his eternal nature, which means his wisdom and knowledge encompass all time. So God simply has a much broader perspective. And that brings us to the final truth about Lady Wisdom found here in Proverbs chapter 8. We should make wisdom our way of life. Look at verses 32 and following. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. See, the intention of this poem that Solomon writes here in Proverbs chapter 8 is to persuade you to listen to wisdom and to follow her. Right? If world leaders should rule by wisdom, if wisdom predates the earth and was created by God before he created us, if she is was an intimate relationship with God through the creative process, then she is someone most worthy to seek. So we should make wisdom our way of life, and not just any wisdom or conventional wisdom, but God's wisdom, because it is true. It was ancient. And God knows because of his eternal qualities. And true wisdom comes from God himself. Let's make that, right, our way of life. She is beautiful. She is wisdom. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for how you have loved us. We thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, we can find wisdom. And that wisdom can change our lives so that we know you better, so that we understand your ways better, so that we understand this world better. And Lord, I just ask that you would give us wisdom. Let us follow her all the days of our lives. Lord, I pray for our leaders, not only here in our church, but also in our community, in our state, in this country, in this world, that we would find true wisdom that's rooted in who you are, ancient, eternal, and trustworthy. Lord, help us not to look to our own ways and to our own ideas, but rather to you, Lord, in all that we do, that we might follow you and your ways and your wisdom for our whole lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.